God's not looking for the talented. He's looking for those that are willing to yield themselves to His Spirit and allow Him to work through them. It doesn't take talent to serve God. It takes obedience. Amen? Turn with me tonight for just a few minutes. I'll try to be very brief tonight, but it's something I want to preach to you about. Actually, and probably in follow-up of what we preached on this morning. And how many of you enjoyed that message this morning? Came straight from the throne room. Amen? There's something about suddenlies. They suddenly happen. Amen. James chapter 1. Let's stand tonight for the reading of the Word of God. Hallelujah. Somebody's got something they need to say. Let's be obedient to the Lord tonight before I go any further with this. If God is touching you right now, you say what God's got on your heart. All hearts are clear. Amen. You know, we need, as Christians, and I appreciate you bringing that up, we need to be aware of what's going on around us. We don't need to be like ostriches and stick our head in the sand and say, gas ain't $5 a gallon. Oh, it's going there. But that's okay if we need it. How many of you know God said, I'll supply all your needs according to my riches and glory? We need to be aware of what's happening. We don't need to fear what's happening. If we're trusting God, if we got our faith in God, if we've been serving God, if we've been honoring Him, then God's going to sustain His people right in the midst of this. As I preach to you this morning, there's going to be two groups of people, those that God sustained who have been honoring Him and following Him, and those that are denying Him and walking in unbelief, those people are going to be in trouble. I don't want to be one of those people. They should be fearful because they're going to have some problems. James chapter 1, James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greetings. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given you. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. And let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Our Father, as we come to you tonight and thank you for the presence of the Holy Spirit of God that we have felt in both of the services that we've had here today, we glorify you, we honor you, and we praise you for feeling and counting us worthy to have your presence in this morning service. And Father, we thank you that we're worthy to have the Holy Ghost of God walk with us every step of the way in our life. Because there's nothing that we've done to deserve it. But Lord, we have the blood of your precious Son applied to our life. And that makes us worthy. That makes us people who have the guidance of Almighty God in this troubled day in which we live. And I thank you for that. Father, I ask you now as we look into your blessed word that you would anoint our lips and use us to say those things that would be pleasing in your sight. You know every need that's present in this service tonight. I pray, God, that every person would receive a touch, a personal touch from the Holy Spirit of God tonight. That blessed assurance, that reassurance that you're with us. And we'll glorify you, we'll praise you, and we honor you for all the results. For it's in Jesus' name that we ask it. Amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. I wanted to talk to you after the message this morning and understanding what went on in Samaria and the fact that God did deliver his people out of that bondage just as the man of God said that he would. God is always there. Paul, the Apostle Paul in the book of, I believe it's 1 Corinthians, says, "Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift." And God's gift is his presence, his salvation, his presence with you and I all the way. But I want to talk to you tonight about problems. Now, you got problems? The Bible said, according to the book of James and the prophet James here, he said, "Count it all joy. Be happy in your problems." Now, that's not to say put on a happy face and put on a big act no matter what's going on in your life. That's not what he's saying here at all. But he is saying if there are problems in your life, count it joy. Knowing, the Bible said, knowing, listen to it, this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. Folk, I want you to know tonight that despite what some preachers will tell you, there is not a utopia in this world where man can live with no problems. He'll never have any problems. There'll never be anything that comes along that will be trouble in his life. I want you to notice something here. The Bible said not if we have problems, but when we have problems. Look at verse 2. "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations," into divers problems, the things that come along. So the Apostle James is not saying it's possible to live above your problems. It's possible to live outside your problems. The Apostle James is saying here, when problems come, count it joy. Because you know something that the world don't know. You have a knowledge that the world don't have. The fact is, problems are inevitable. Problems are going to come. Problems come every day. Some of them are small. Some of them are large. Some of them are huge. Some of them we look at and we think, "My God, how am I going to get over this?" But James is counseling us when the problem arises, whether it be a small problem or a large problem, because of what we know, we can count that problem as joy and have joy in it even as we are going through it. Now, how in the world can you have joy if you've just been to the doctor and been diagnosed with cancer? If you've been driving down the road and had an auto accident that's wiped out your car and put some of your people or maybe even you in the hospital and things are just not going, how can you have joy? I'll tell you tonight, anybody that's signing up for the kingdom of God is going to go through plenty of problems and troubles and trials. Because you've got an enemy out there that's going to confront you every step of the way. Now, you can wish that you didn't have problems. You can hope that problems never come. You can dream about a life without problems. You can hope that you will never be confronted with any major problems. But the truth is, problems come to every one of us. Nobody in this room tonight, and I would venture to say as I look out over your faces, most of you are in some kind of problem right now. You're facing something in your life. It may be minor. It may be just a small problem, but it may be a major, major problem that threatens to destroy everything around you, threatens to take you down. But I would venture to say everybody in this room is facing something, even at this point. Nobody is immune to problems. And I want you to know tonight, the number one thing about problems is they're unpredictable. They're various and varied in the way that they come. And none of us can predict having a flat tire or having an accident in or being diagnosed with a disease. They are so varied that there's no way that you can predict them. They're not planned. You don't plan to how many of you here plan to start out to work in the morning and have a flat tire before you get there? Anybody here? How many of you plan to go to the doctor for your next regular visit and have the doctor tell you you need a major surgery? You plan that problem? You're different than I am if you plan those problems. Problems are not planned. Problems are not anticipated. And actually, problems come when we least expect them and when we least need them. When everything is going in one direction and the problem arises, it's always at a time when it can be better coming some other time. But problems come in all shapes, all sizes. There's big ones and little ones and major ones and minor ones. And, even as you face everyday life, you deal with little minor things and you deal with little minor inconveniences, but you also have to deal along the way with some major problems. But the good news is, there's good news about problems. Oh, yeah. Verse 2 says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptation, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. How many of you have learned already not to pray for patience? You pray for patience, you better look out. Trouble's coming. Amen. Why? Because trouble or tribulation works or creates or causes you to have or teaches you patience. So if you pray for patience, trouble's coming. Amen? But problems have a purpose. Problems help purify your faith. Problems build your faith. Have you ever noticed most young Christians, when they first get saved, they just are on fire for the Lord. They're excited, everything. They can pray for anything. God will give it to them. It's just like these little grandbabies running around here. When they're little, Pa, give them anything. After they get a little age on them, I expect some discipline. I expect them to start to learn and to grow up and to mature. So problems build your faith. How many of you know that if you never had a problem, you wouldn't know that God could solve them? You ever heard that song? So problems come into our life to cause us to turn and use our faith in God and to know that God's walking with us. So problems increase our faith. And if you will watch young Christians, God will start out with things that are small, and they will just turn them over to God. And then a little while longer, a bigger problem comes along, and they've learned, just turn it over to God. And then a bigger problem comes along, and they've learned, just turn it. After a while, you can look out. Devastation hits that family. Devastation hits that life. And you know what happened? They just turn it over to God. You know why? Because they learn. They learn as they walk. See, learning to live for the Lord is a learning process. It's not something you pick up when you first get saved. Jesus paid our sin debt. There's nothing I can do and nothing you can do to add one iota to that payment. He paid it all. But after we are born again, God expects us to learn and to mature, and the way that we learn and mature is through the problems that come into our life. Now, does God bring problems into your life? Not according to James 1:15. God cannot be tempted, neither tempteth he any man. So God doesn't bring the problems, but when the problems come, there will always be a way of escape. And that way of escape is rolling that problem over on the Lord, and we learn through the Christian life, as we get older and mature, it begins to purify our faith. And there comes a time, it doesn't matter what the enemy throws at you, you've got it. You just simply roll it over on the Lord. And then you can walk in joy unspeakable and full of glory. So problems are going to come. But James said, my brethren, when they come, when trouble comes, count it all joy. You see, if you really think about that statement in the beginning, it don't make any sense. Problems come, we're supposed to count it as joy? Of course, because we know what the answer is. Problems help purify your faith. Not only that, but problems help produce patience. I'm sorry. If you face a situation for the first time, and it seems critical and it seems traumatic, 9 times out of 10, you're going to overreact to that situation. But how many of you mothers know when you changed your first diaper, it seemed a terrible thing? And most dads do the same thing, you know. But after you've changed about 200 or 300 of them, it don't make no difference. That stuff in there is cleanable. It washes good. Problems are the same way. The first time you face something, it seems insurmountable. But you turn it over to the Lord, and you know what? The end result wasn't that bad. So the next time you turn it over to the Lord, the end result wasn't that bad. After a while, it comes, and you just say, take care of it, Lord. I'm rolling it over on you. We learn that our problems are not insurmountable because we know that God is walking with us and God is going to take care of our problems and deal with our problems. So problems help produce patience in that after we learn to give our problems to God, we can have patience and wait on the Lord in His timing to solve that problem. How many of you know we live in a microwave society and we want everything right now? But that's not always God's timing. You see, God operates in times and seasons. And we just give the problem to the Lord and let God take care of it in His time. We know that He can. We know that He will. How many of you know that God will take care of your problems if you give them to Him? The problem we have is that we want to give them to Him today and pick them up and worry about them again tomorrow. Do you know that stress is the number one killer? The number one cause of disease? They say, well, heart trouble causes the most death, or cancer causes the most death. If you will talk to a medical doctor who will be honest with you and sit down and talk to you, he will tell you that stress causes most heart trouble. Stress causes most physical ailments in the human body. It starts because we worry about our problems and we couldn't do anything about them to start with. So if we just turn them over to God and let God deal with them in His time, then our problems will teach us patience. And James said, my brethren, count it all joy when the problems come, because you know what the answer is. Now, for somebody in the world that don't know what the answer is, I can see where stress would cause a lot of physical defects and physical illnesses. But you and I, as God's people, know what the answer is, do we not? Then why do we worry? Why do we concern ourselves over things that we cannot change? We cannot do anything about except put them in the Lord's hands. So problems number one help purify your faith. Problems number two help produce patience. Problems number three help develop character. Now this is where we get down to the nitty gritty. You see, you need to know this. God is more interested in your character than in your comfort. Let me repeat that. God is more interested in your character than in your comfort. God, it's hot outside. I need air conditioner. God says, I need you to be more like my son, Jesus. God says, I want to take the problems that come into your life and I want to purify your faith. I want to give you faith, increase your patience, and I want you to be molded in the image of Jesus. And that's how I'm going to work your problems out, molding you into the image of my son. I'm not really interested in whether you need air conditioning or not. I said, God is more interested in molding you into the image of his son, which is your character, than he is in your comfort zone. God doesn't really care about our comfort zone. Do you know that? He wants us to be like his son, Jesus Christ. And that's why he uses those problems. God does not create our problems, but God uses our problems to mold us and give us character. God's goal for you is maturity. God's not looking for a bunch of Christians that have been in the faith for 35 years and are still babes on the milk. God is looking for maturity. God is looking for us to be like Jesus Christ. And that's why James said, my brethren, count it all joy when you're faced with diverse temptations. You know, rejoice. We should always be able to rejoice and praise God no matter what the situation, no matter what the circumstances in our life. We rejoice in our problems not because we have problems, not because that problems are in our life, but we rejoice because God is in our life with our problem. And we can have joy because we know that my God shall supply all of my needs according to his riches and glory. So we can rejoice even in the depths of our problems, in the midnight hour, when it seems that there's no one around and no one cares and the tears come easy because the pain is so great. We can still rejoice, not because the pain's there, not because the problem's there, but because God is there with us in that problem. We could be walking in that problem by ourselves, but we have one that will never leave us, never forsake us, who will go all the way with us even to the end of the world, who takes every step that we take and walks with us and knows what that problem is and knows what the answer is and is going to bring that answer to us in due time and in due season, and we can rejoice by knowing that. That's why the Bible said tears or weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. How many of you know that no matter how hard the problem is, no matter what the situation is that you face, the loss of a loved one is a tragic thing, but God can bring joy back to your life after that if you let him. I know people, and you probably do too, that face the loss of a loved one, that have seen a friend, a dear friend, for some reason go home to be with the Lord, and the pain seemed unbearable. The pain seemed so terrible that you thought, I'll never get over this. I'll never survive this. Homes have been destroyed by divorce, and men and women and even the children have come to the conclusion, I'll never get over this. But folk, I want you to know, no matter how hard the pain, no matter how much it hurts, if God is in your life with you and you will let him see you through, joy will come again. You will smile again. You will laugh again. You will have joy unspeakable in your heart again if you will trust God with your problem. James said, let's count it all joy when we fall into divers temptations. Knowing is something that you know. Knowing the Lord Jesus Christ, knowing who he is, knowing that he loves us, that he died for us, and he's with us. I don't thank God for evil, and I don't think you do. I don't thank God for cancer or accidents that take people's lives, but the reality is, The reality that we have to face is the fact that it's appointed unto man once to die. After death, the judgment. And I don't know why I'm going this way with this tonight, because this is not the way I outline it. But I'm here to tell you tonight that if the person that we lose, and we count it a loss down here, if the person that goes on to be with the Lord is in the faith, and we're in the faith, we have that promise, we're going to see them again. We're going to be reunited with that person. That separation is temporary. It's not very long. And I know that most of you that have been in the faith very long have had occasion to go and sit in the church just like this at a funeral service and say our goodbyes to someone that we loved so dearly, someone that was so important to us, someone that was so much a part of our life that we didn't think we'd ever survive it. We just wanted to go to and be with them and go on right then. But I'm here to tell you that God sustains you. Look at where you are now, and look at where you could have been. God brought you through it, and you have that hope, that promise, that one of these days, the trumpet's going to sound, the dead in Christ are going to rise, and we which are alive and remain will be caught up together with them to meet the Lord in the air. So, folk, even death is not such a traumatic problem that we can't get over it. I praise God when trouble comes because He's there to see me through that trouble. Not only should we rejoice in our troubles because God is with us, we should always pray. Look at verse 5 there and says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. If you're facing a situation in your life and you don't know how to handle it, if you don't know how to react to it, if you don't know what to do about it, it's very simple to find out. Just get on your knees before God. You don't have to do it in public. You can do it in the privacy of your bedroom, down beside your bed. But get on your knees and pray. Say, God, I just don't know what to do. I need some wisdom. I need some guidance in this situation. Please help me. And I assure you that God hears the prayers of His people. God will answer your prayer. God will give you the wisdom. Listen to what He says. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given you. So if you need direction in your troubles, pray. Not only should we rejoice, not only should we pray, but we should rely on God to solve the problems and see us through the problems. Romans chapter 8 and verse 28 says, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. You say, well, my God, preacher, how can troubles work for my good? How can the loss of a loved one, or the loss of my finances, or the loss of my status in the community, how can that work for my good? If you will turn it over to God, God will bring it out and bless you in it and bring you out with more. Ask Job. God brought him out with more than what he started with, simply because he was faithful to God and walked with God. Rely on God to see you through. I assure you, nobody else can do it. No, your friends, no matter how sincere they are, no matter how much they want to help, friends have this real problem sometimes of opening their mouth in a time of trouble and turmoil and sticking their foot in it. They will say things like, I know how you feel. But they don't really, because they've never been through what you're facing. You see, you can't judge a man till you walked a mile in his shoes. But you can't tell a man how he feels, or a woman how she feels, who's standing at the casket looking down in the face of a loved one that they've just lost, if you've never lost a loved one. You can't tell me how that feels until you've been through it. Or we say, really dumb things sometimes. You know, our best solution is that we should just go to our friends when they're going through problems, put our arm around their shoulder and say, "Brother, sister, I'm praying for you. I'm trusting God with you that God will see you through this. I don't know how you feel. I've never been there, but I know God's able to sustain you, to walk with you in the midnight hour, and to take care of you." So we should always rejoice. Not that we have problems, but that God is with us in our problems. We should always pray and seek God's wisdom and guidance in our problems. And we should always rely on God to sustain us through our problems. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Look at it for just a minute. One of the most confusing scriptures, or the most misquoted scriptures in the Word of God. Listen to what it says. "There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man." How many of you realize that what you're facing tonight, or what you're about to face, or what you've already faced, is nothing unusual? It's nothing different. It's nothing new. It's been going on in this old world for years and years and years. You're not the first one that ever faced it. You're not going to be the last one that will ever face it. Troubles are coming to all of us. If you're not in trouble or facing trouble tonight, you will be tomorrow. Or you just came out of it yesterday. It's just that simple. This life is a few days and it's full of trouble. But the Bible said, "There hath no temptation taken you, but such is common to man." But God is faithful. God is always there with you. God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able to bear. Now, I've heard people say that God won't tempt you above what you're able to bear. That's not what this verse says at all. The tempter is not God. If you look at James 1:15, you'll find out God cannot be tempted and he does not tempt man. But you have an enemy out there who tempts you. And troubles and trials in your life tempt you. But my Bible said God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able. When you face that problem and you think, "I can't go any further. I can't bear this. I can't handle this." God knows better than you do what you can handle and what you can face, because he's right there with you, holding you, sustaining you every step of the way. And the Bible said he'll not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear. James said, "My brethren, count it all joy when we fall into these temptations, knowing that the trying of our faith works patience." Patience, joy. Joy, hope. God loves us tonight. God walks with us. It concerns me, and I'll say this to you and then I'll close. It concerns me when I see Christians who are living a good Christian life and rejoicing in the Lord as long as everything's going good. Because I know just around the corner, just around the next curve in the road, Bruce, they're going to face something. And if they can't rejoice and have joy in the Lord in the bad times, then they're going to fall by the wayside. And you've seen it, and I have too. Christians, when everything's going great, everything's going good, they're just praising the Lord. You let a little problem, a little hump in the road, a little pothole come along, and it throws them completely out of the road. They're off track. They don't know what to do. But the Bible counsels us what to do. Put our faith, our trust, our hope in God, who will sustain us through our troubles. Troubles are coming. If you're not in them, look out. They'll be here tomorrow. Christ loved you enough, He will see you through all your troubles, all your trials, every temptation. There is a plan in God's plan to not only bring you through it, but to mature you and increase your faith along the way. He uses your troubles and your problems to mature you and increase your faith, so that the next time you can put your hand around somebody else's shoulder and say, "Listen, I'm praying for you because I know God is going to see you through." Amen? God loves us tonight. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. I trust that there's not anybody here tonight who's going through a traumatic trial, but I suspect that there is. And if you need a touch from God, if you need help from God tonight, Sister Bert's going to come and get on the piano, and she's going to play. Her and Bruce are going to sing something. And I want you to know that God is with you. God is willing to help you. God wants to walk with you. And if you're facing troubles and you're facing trials in your life, this is not a time to put Him out. You know, we have this tendency, and it's false pride, I think, that does it. We have a tendency when we're going through something, we want to kind of withdraw from everybody and everything, Harold. And we just want to kind of try to get through it by ourselves. But folk, when you're facing trials and troubles and temptations, that's the very time, number one, to reach out to God. Number two, to reach out to your brothers and sisters in the Lord and let them help you pray. Amen? So if you're here tonight and you're facing anything in your heart and in your life and you need a touch from God, whatever it is, God's able to meet your need right now. He'll meet you at the point of your sacrificing that need to Him. So if you need something from the Lord tonight, as we stand to our feet and as they sing, you slip out of your seat and you come. Let us pray together for whatever it is that you're facing right now. Would you do that?
Life is easy when you're up on the mountain and you've got peace of mind like you've never known. But then things change
when you're down in the valley. Oh, yeah. Just remember, God on the mountain, He's still God in the valley. Yes.
When things go wrong,
oh, He'll make them right.
He'll make them right. And the God
of the good times, He's still God in the bad times. That's where your faith,
that's when faith
is really put to the test.
Really put to the test. For the God on the mountain is still God in the valley.
Worship Him tonight, church. Yes, He will.
Yes, He's still God and the God of the good times.
He's still God in the bad times.
In the valley.
doesn't change.
The God of